the story before. Wedding guests are gathered, anticipating a long-awaited ceremony. The music begins to play softly at first as the bridegroom and his attendants file on to the front of the sanctuary, handsome as can be. Then comes the bridesmaids, each one of them beautiful, with dresses chosen not to make the bride look good, but just to lift out their own beauty and make each one of them look, you could say, angelic. And then the musicians strike a majestic chord, heralding the moment when the bride is to appear. But the moment she does, there is a collective gasp. Her veil is torn. One eye is blackened, and her hands, clenched in fists, are red and angry at the knuckles. Her dress is disheveled, and there's a scowl instead of a smile on her face. And in that moment, it becomes evident to all that the church, the bride of Christ, has been brawling again. Ah, the brawling bride. We know her. Come on, come on. We know her. It happens sometimes in churches, which is one reason why we work hard here to live up to our name. Peace. When you have a name like Peace, let me tell you, the devil would love to mess with you on that one. That's why when we have people join the church, we have a membership covenant that says, if you have a difference with someone, you will first examine your own heart. Because Jesus said, first look at the log in your own eye before you try to take a splinter out of another. Then you will consider whether or not it's an offense worth overlooking. Because Scripture says it's to a person's glory to overlook an offense. And man, do we live in a world that does not. Every slightest, you know. Third, if you do have a difference with someone, will you go to them directly? We're not going to Sister So-and-so out here in the parking lot to talk about it. We're going directly to the person because Jesus told us to. And the beautiful thing is, we find that when we put that into practice, oh, it helps. But you know what the icing on the cake is? And actually, it's a big part of the cake itself, prayer. Because when all of that happens in the context of prayer, then you find that you love each other better than you could in your own strength. Right? That's one of the marks of praying churches where there is sincere prayer, they love each other better. Very well. So, one thing I love about the Bible is sometimes it is painfully honest about differences in the church. Oh, yeah. The New Testament includes some great examples. You know, in one instance, Paul calls a couple of women out in the church and says, you know, tell them to get along in the Lord, right? But we're going to look at another one this morning, an even better one. I mean, a good one. Maybe you've heard of it. In this corner, we have Paul, formerly known as Saul, the man of letters and the contender for the gospel. And in this corner, we have the beloved, the incomparable Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And right in the middle, actually the one they're fighting over, John Mark. So let the bell ring on our scripture passage, Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. Let's go. But before we go there, let's pray. Father, bless us as we go to your word. Help us to glean everything we can from it. Through your Spirit, speak your truth. And bless us to be your people of peace. Most of all, through your peace at work in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. Acts 15, starting with verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. But there it is. I mean, two giants of the faith, Paul and Barnabas, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Think about that. Just Paul, this man, so filled with the Holy Spirit that he has visions that are so grand. He won't even name himself when he describes them. Paul, the love is patient, love is kind guy. And Barnabas, the very one who risked everything and first brought Paul before skeptical believers in Jerusalem when he was still Saul. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. You might be tempted to ask, who won? And the answer to that question is, actually, they both did. And so did we, but more on that later. Before we go there, I got to tell you whose side I'm on this one, just for fun. Barnabas. I've got a reason for that. The first time that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went on a mission trip together, John Mark apparently messed up, right? I mean, we don't know exactly what happened. Acts 13:13 just tells us he left. He was young. Perhaps he let his fears get the better of him when they faced opposition. So you can understand Paul's position when it's time to go back to the very same places. And Barnabas says, well, let's bring John Mark. Paul says, uh-uh. But you gotta read Paul. Because, again, Luke tells us that their disagreement turns sharp, right? And you gotta look at Paul and some of the stuff he writes. I mean, I'm not gonna quote Galatians 5:12 directly, but you can look it up if you like. But I will quote what Acts 11:24 says about Barnabas and his ministry. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Both are good men. After all, God allowed Paul to write more of the New Testament than any other author. Yet, sharp disagreement. And in the end, you'll see why I think Barnabas was ultimately right. But what happened? Barnabas was originally a Levite from Cyprus. And he took John Mark and went right back to Cyprus, actually. The very place he had left them from before. That was where the mission trip was. And that's a bold move. It might have made John Mark nervous. Barnabas encouraged him to go anyhow. And he went. He didn't run this time. And I love that. I love that because it shows us something about our God. Our God is the God of the second chance. You know you've made mistakes. So have I. You know you have sinned willfully. And so have I. You may have sinned grievously. Some people might write you off because of it. But Jesus won't. Jesus won't. And His Holy Spirit won't either. And if you just keep going, believe Him. Keep walking with Him. Keep following Him. Keep turning from your sin and turning to Him. And you will find that He will meet you in those places, those very places, like Cyprus, where you once struggled so much. I love the fact that my son today is a pastor in Wilmington where he once bought and sold heroin. Because, you know, in addiction circles, a lot of people say, oh, you've got to change your whole environment. But God made a way. So, again, the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. That's the name the apostles gave him in Acts 4:36. He was actually called Joseph before. And why is he son of encouragement? Well, he's a son of God. God who offers us eternal encouragement. One of the sons and daughters of the living Christ. And that's you and that's me when we come to Him. There is no one more loving and more able to keep us and more able to help us change than He, no matter where you've been. No matter what you've done, He will meet us in our sins. And He will not leave us there. Remember what Scripture says about Him, a bruised reed He will not break, a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. So in the end, what happens? Well, Barnabas was right to take him to go back to Cyprus. He did just fine. John Mark matured in his faith. Paul went elsewhere with silence. That's fine. And what happened as a result is their mission efforts doubled. And that's a good thing. That's why everyone won, ultimately. One of the hard things for me as we were planting Peace Church to realize was that sometimes there are people who need to go. You know, they may not understand. And that was really tough for me. But then you come to realize, well, wait a minute. You know, if everyone else is swimming in one direction, they're swimming in another and trying to change everyone else. And you see that happen sometimes, you know. And in this instance, you know, sometimes it is of the Spirit. I mean, it sounds funny to say that, but I can tell you, it's true. And I can also tell you that that is church planting 101A. When you go to Church Planters Boot Camp, and yes, they call it that, that's one of the things they'll tell you. But it's interesting. Do you know what Paul has to say about Barnabas later? I mean, about John Mark later? In Philemon 24, he calls him a fellow worker. In 2 Timothy 4:11, he calls him useful to me. Send him. He's useful to me. And he tells the church in Colossians 4:10, to welcome him. And by the way, Colossians also tells us that John Mark is Barnabas' cousin. So that might explain why Barnabas thought he was a safe bet. He knew him better than Paul did. But wait, there's more. Do you know who else he is? Or rather, who he became? We know him better by his second name, and he wrote these words, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Sound familiar? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yeah. He's that guy. That Mark. John Mark. God honored him to write one of the first four Gospels of the New Testament. As a matter of fact, probably the earliest Gospel of the New Testament that was helpful to Luke and Matthew when they began to write their own Gospels. They both borrow from Mark in places. I think that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. He's the one who wrote down Peter's recollections. Peter honored him with that. Earliest gospel of the New Testament. And that, dear one, is why we all win. You see, our God isn't only the God of the second chance. He's so much more than that. Look at the place of honor he gives John Mark later, for ministry run away to a man so anointed and filled with his spirit that you and I would be reading the words he wrote over 2 millennia later. So you think a God like that would give up on you? Maybe it's time to rethink that. Just saying. To follow him, to keep on going closer to him, closer to him in his healing, truly redemptive, empowering, inspiring love. Can we do that? Let's take the first step. May we pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you did for John Mark. Thank you that you are the same Spirit at work in us. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, thank you that you are long-suffering. And that you can do things in our hearts and lives that we never thought possible in our discouragement. Abba, Father, thank you that you offer us eternal encouragement. Eternal encouragement. Thank you that you forgive our sins. And you place them behind us. And you do it again and again. And that's not cause to sin more, it's cause to love you more. Help us to get that. And keep on following. So that we may walk in the beauty of your peace into more and more grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.